Good morning. Well, are you guys ready for the word this morning? Amen. All right. Well, we're going to pray for Pastor John here and ask God to speak to our hearts and to perform some surgery on us this morning. Amen. You know, the heart can grow hard real quick. You know, I know John Clinton in his class today. You know, John is always talking about being humble. What a great example we have, John. You're a humble man. You know, and how pride subtly moves in sometimes. And little by little, you know, can harden our hearts. So we're going to ask God to move mighty here today through His Spirit, to take the sword of the Spirit and to cut through the bone and the marrow. Amen. Jesus. Down between the spirit and the soul and to touch us in a mighty and powerful way today. Amen. Father, we give You thanks. And Lord, as we sit at Your feet here today, move mightily. Lord, take that scalpel of Your word and begin to cut and to peel away that which is hard. Lord, so that that heart of flesh can beat. Lord, we know that it's done by Your Spirit. And we pray right now for anointing upon Pastor John, but upon ourselves too, that our hearts and our ears would be touched, that they would be anointed, that we would listen with a readiness and we'd be eager to act. Father, we give You thanks and we give You praise in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it was just a few weeks ago, 3 weeks to be exact, that we celebrated Easter. And if you were here, you know, we talked about the power that comes into us, the power that transforms us. And Easter, I'm sure you should know by now, it celebrates the most important day in the history of mankind or in the history of all times, the universe, for every Christian that's ever lived and will ever live. And because that first Easter was the day the tomb was transformed from a place of death into a place of new life, from a place of defeat into a place of victory. So no longer do we have to fear the grave. And we don't have to see it as the end of the line. It's not the end for us. Now we know it's really nothing more than a doorway. Dying is just, it's just a doorway to a new life, a victorious life. God's word tells us in Romans 1:4 that Jesus, through the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God by His resurrection from the dead. The resurrection was the indisputable, absolute, final proof that everything that Jesus had been talking about, that everything that He promised was true, that He was the real thing. And He showed us that through His complete and total victory, our greatest enemy, death, was vanquished. 1 Corinthians 15:54 and 5 says, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Now we know through the word that this victory is ours. The victory that Jesus won that day. But what I want to talk about today is that this victory is for us not only in our death, but also in this life that we live right now. For all those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that victory is for now. Naisa said it just a little while ago, don't give up. Kim was talking about it. Romans 8:37 tells us that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who saved us. God has given us that promise and many others in His Word so that according to 2 Peter 1:4, that we may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. See, God wants us to be a part of the supernatural. He wants us to be part of this divine nature. He wants us to have more than just a life of flesh, body, emotions, our own thoughts. He wants us to incorporate the spiritual, the divine into our lives. He wants us to know that we're champions, that we're more than conquerors in every area, in all things. We have that. It's within us. And we can do that through Christ. And that even includes the ability to overcome the devil. The Word of God explains this fact very clearly, and that it tells us that it's for every one of us. Every one of us are soldiers, basically, in Christ's army. And we need to remind ourselves that our enemy, the devil, our enemy, the prince of this world, is a defeated foe. He is. He's a defeated foe. Satan's fate has already been sealed. It's done. There's no way he could ever pull Jesus off the throne. There's no way he can reverse what's already been done. He can't undo what God did. He can't take away Christ's victory, and therefore he can't take away the victory that's in us. Our victory over him. Think about that. As long as we remain in Christ, there is no way that we can lose the spiritual battles that we find ourselves in. If we fight those battles as Christ leads us in the power of his Spirit, the victory is ours. All the devil can do is try to deceive us. He uses lies, schemes, his craftiness, manipulations. He fakes us out. He fakes us out all the time. That's what he's trying to do, because he knows he doesn't have the authority over us. That's been taken away. So what he does is he tries to pull a fast one on us. Every day. In every situation, he's going to try something. He tries to forget to get us to forget about our victory in Christ. And one of the ways that he gets us is he tries to get us to fight in our own power. And we need to remember that we will never be victorious over the devil in our own power, in our own strength. Our flesh is not able to defeat the devil, because the devil and our flesh are sort of like buddies. Our flesh wants what it wants. Our flesh is filled with lust. Our flesh just wants to pamper ourselves, and the devil is more than happy to feed the flesh. Our flesh is weak. Even when the Spirit is strong, it says our spirit may be willing, but our flesh is weak. We also need to remember that God doesn't want us to fight for victory as much as he wants us to fight from victory. Think about that. We're always trying to get the victory. God wants us to realize that the victory has already been won. We have to fight from the victory. We're already on the top of the hill. We don't have to take the hill again. It was won when Christ was crucified on that hill. From the vantage point of knowing that the battle has already won by Jesus Christ, we gain strength. And that empowers us then to finish the job with that knowledge, with that understanding that it's done by his Spirit. When I was a firefighter, we oftentimes had to battle burning buildings. That's something you do as a firefighter, right? So it takes a lot of manpower to put down a good fire. Well, some people might say a bad fire. When you're a firefighter, it's like, that's a good fire, you know? And to get that fire under control. But after the fire is put out, Once that fire is knocked down, somebody always has to stay, sometimes a long time, as long as it takes, however long it takes, to make sure that the smoldering remains don't reignite. There's always these little pockets up in windowsills, around door frames, sometimes in the rafters, sometimes down underneath in the basement, wherever, all these little places where the embers that were on fire escaped the water. And if left long enough, they start to get hotter and hotter, and before you know it, the fire starts up again. Same thing happens in a bonfire. You ever do it? You pour water on it. Then you go inside, you look out a little later. At first it's a little smoky, before you know it, it's going again. If you had a good fire going. Well, it's really not a problem as long as you're standing right there, right? As long as you are aware that that kind of thing can happen. Well, when we're dealing with the fires in our lives, our struggles, our trials, our tribulations, sometimes what happens is these little pockets keep popping up. They keep erupting, just like those little embers, don't they? And Satan tries to get you to look at those things and focus on every one of those little things that keep popping up. And we get so bummed out that they pop up, but we got to realize that we're there to see it so that when it does pop up, we can put it down. Just like that fire. Satan wants to keep reminding you over and over of this happened, that happened, you did this, you did that, all your past failures. He tries to tell you that you're a loser, that you're a hypocrite, that you're too weak, you'll never have the victory. Why? Because he wants you to give up. He wants you to just give up and go home. I can't handle this. Maybe he wants you to turn to some other type of escape. There's plenty out there. Drown ourselves in our troubles. But God's Word tells us not to focus on those little problems that come back, not to focus on the devil coming after us, but to fix our eyes on somebody. Who is it? Jesus. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's Hebrews 12:2. He's the one who got the victory for us. We're not just looking at him and just saying, oh, that's nice, he's a good guy. We got to look and realize that he was victorious and he has that victory for us. By believing in God's word and walking in his truth, we begin to walk in his plan then for our life, for our victory. See, God has a plan for your victory. He has a plan to help you walk victoriously, to live victoriously. But if we follow our feelings, if we follow our emotions, and if we let the circumstances around us direct our steps in our life, then we're falling for the enemy's plans. And he has plans too. Plans for you. To destroy you. To kill you. To murder you. To rob you. He's a thief and a robber. A murderer. He's a liar. He's a cheat. He masquerades as an angel of light. He does everything he can do to get us. So our assurance of victory can't be based on what we see with our own eyes around us. We can't believe that just because we see things happening, the outward circumstances around us, that that means we've lost. We haven't. We can't give up. Our victory is based on the finished work of Christ. The infallibility of God's word and the fact that he is faithful even when we are not. God's faithful. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So what I want to do now is I want to look at three things that will enable us to fight the good fight. And that's what it is. It's a good fight. It's a fight. It's always a fight. It's never going to be easy. Life is not easy. But it's fruitful. And there's a tremendous reward waiting for us. So it will enable us to fight the good fight, remain standing, and finish the race, and be able to claim that crown. Our total victory over Satan, all his devious plans and schemes for our life. That is what God has in store for us. That's his plan for our life. First, we need to fully understand and believe what I said a little bit ago, that Satan is a defeated foe. So how did Satan lose his advantage over us? How come he's not like, he doesn't have that power anymore? Well, remember, at one time we were all under the power of Satan. Every one of us, we were. We were slaves to sin, and sin is the occupation. Sin is the work of the devil. That's what he does. He comes up with all kinds of new ways. He's a master at marketing. He's a marketing genius. He markets sin so that we buy it. And he makes a lot of sales. He originated sin all the way back in the garden, and it's been flourishing ever since. This is the devil's work in us. We are his garden, and he's cultivating the sin inside of us. And then Jesus came to destroy the power of sin. He came to destroy the devil's garden, his work, his handicraft. He came to destroy that in our lives and to save us from his consequences, which was death. In 1 John 3:8b, it says, "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work." You see, that's his work. That's his job. That's what he does. And that's why Jesus had to die on the cross. He became the perfect sacrifice to pay for that sin. John 1:7 says, "The blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." So Satan figured that if he could somehow disrupt God's plans, if he could just kill the Messiah, kill that guy Jesus, get him up to the cross and kill him, then mankind would just, you know, come right back and fall right back into sin again. He could get right back to his work, cultivating sin in our lives. And then we would belong to him for all eternity. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Hardly. So Satan orchestrates his great plan, at least he thought it was his plan, to have Jesus hung on the cross for all the world to see. And his plan is a tremendous success. And him and all his demons are excited. They're just filled with joy, and they celebrate with all the demonic forces for a couple days. And then on the third day, something goes awry. Jesus rises from the dead. And all of a sudden, Satan sees, he learns that he was used by God to bring about his own destruction. I was thinking of this last night. I start thinking, that's that movie, The Sting, you remember that? Paul Newman and what's his name? Robert Redford, yeah. Old movie, The Sting. And they pull off this tremendous... And that's what God did to the devil. He pulled a sting operation on him. What the devil meant for evil, God turned into good. He overcame evil with good. And so God literally made fools of all those evil forces. They're out there celebrating, they're partying, they're having the time of their lives. They think they destroyed God's plans, they killed the Savior, mankind's a wreck now, they're going to belong to us. But God made them all fools. Colossians 2:15, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. I love that verse. Colossians 2:15. He made a public spectacle of them. Just like when you defeat an army in battle and then you march them in and they all got their hands up or tied behind their backs, all their guns are taken away. You put them in prison camp. That's what God did. So now the power of sin was broken, Satan was disarmed, and death was no longer to be feared. Death was swallowed up in victory. So Satan is now, and this is what we need to see, a defeated foe. He has no power over us anymore, other than, like I said, his lies, his schemes, his manipulations, his deceptions. He has no power over us, though, as long as we belong to Christ and are in Christ. He's nothing but a big bully now. A loudmouth bully with a mouth full of lies. So who are we going to believe? Are we going to believe God's word that tells us the victory is ours? Or are we going to believe the loudmouth bully who we know is a liar, a cheat, and a thief, and a murderer who says, "Oh, you're no good, you lost"? Who are we going to believe? The next thing we need to see is that we've been given authority over Satan and his works. In the book of Luke chapter 9, 1 and 2, we read, "When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all the demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal them." As in the 9th chapter of Luke, right at the beginning. And then for the next 60 verses, it talks about some of the wonderful things that Jesus did, some of the miracles he performed, and basically the ways that he destroyed the works of the enemy. And he also told his apostles and his disciples that he was going, a couple times in fact, that he was going to die and come back. He was setting them up, telling them how it was all going to work, how it was all going to come about. And then in the very next chapter, in chapter 10, it says that Jesus sends out even more disciples in his name. And it says in verse 1, "After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out, two by two, ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go." In verse 16, it says, "Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me." In other words, he was saying, like, you're my ambassador. You're going in my authority. Under my authority. So I'm giving you this authority to go out there and minister and to deal with the works of the devil. So sometime later, we don't know for sure exactly how long, actually the next verse in here, but it was obviously a while, because they went out and then they came back. And it says, "The 72 returned with joy and said, 'Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name.' And he replied, 'I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.'" So God wants us to walk in authority in his name to honor him, and he wants us to use that to build his kingdom, but he doesn't want us to walk in pride. And he's telling us that right there. Don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you. It's not, don't get all prideful now. Don't start thinking this is a game. It's not all just about getting them to, you know, bow down before you. That's not what it's about. It's about accomplishing God's will and knowing that these guys can't get in your way. They can't stop us. If we have the authority that Jesus, then we're supposed to use that authority to build the kingdom. What's our number one directive? Seek first the kingdom of God. And then all these things shall be added unto you. Always, whatever we do, our first question should be, well, is this honoring God? Is this bringing glory to God? Is this building the kingdom? Whatever we do, it's not about us. You know, oh, I want to do this. I want to do that. I'm going to move here. I'm going to buy this. I'm going to marry them. I'm going to, you know, have this. I'm going to do that. And we don't even think about God. We should be thinking like, is this what God would want? Would this be God's best for me so that I can give my best to Him? The very next verse tells us that as Jesus responded to the 72, how Jesus responded to the 72 coming back, their report, and it says that he was full of joy through the Holy Spirit. Why was Jesus full of joy? Well, because he heard that his disciples, in their childlike faith, had gone out in the name of Jesus, and that they had power over the demonic forces in his name. And Jesus saw that it was the beginning of the end for the devil. He knew it was all coming. There was still more he had to do on his part. Go to the cross. That's why he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He saw the beginnings of what his followers were going to be able to do. Pretty cool. And that's what we should be able to do. They didn't even have the Holy Spirit yet. Jesus hadn't even died yet. He hadn't had his blood poured out to wash us, to cleanse us. He hadn't, you know, he hadn't risen from the dead yet. But he had such authority that he was able to give some of that authority to those who were following him. And when he saw that authority, it filled him with joy. When he saw that authority being used to take down the devil, our defeated foe. Then in Romans 16:20, we're told that the God of peace will soon crush Satan. You know where? Under your feet. That sounds like we got a lot of power there. You ever kill a centipede? You probably used your foot, right? I doubt you used your fingers. I don't imagine there's too many people in here that want to squish them with their fingers. You know, you kill a bug, and you crush them. You smash them. You crush them under your feet. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. That's amazing. That statement is amazing. To me, that means that it's like his power, in light of the power we have, is insignificant. We see that little centipede, we squish it under our feet. Now, we don't squish a bear under our feet, do we? Or a lion? Or a tiger? No, we don't squish those things under our feet because they would be terrifying. And so God wants us to see, what he's showing us is that the power of Satan is, he's a defeated foe. His power is gone for us. You know, it doesn't, we don't have to worry. I mean, believe me, he's still got lots of tricks up his sleeve. I'm not saying we don't have to watch out and be aware. It tells us that the devil is out there like a roaring lion. So this is what we need to understand, that what God is trying to tell us is that this authority, this power that we have, this ability that he's given us is giving us an assurance of victory. And that's what we're talking about, that we have this victorious life that God has deemed for us. It's that we can walk in victory. In James 4:7, it says, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." He's saying it another way. Submit yourselves to God. Now, there's a real key right there. You can't just run out there and start chasing the devil and cursing the devil. You're going to get in trouble. Remember the sons of Sceva? They got run out of town naked. How many of you want to run down the street naked? Not me. We need to do things the right way. We have to be under the authority of God. Remember the centurion, "I'm a man under authority. And so I understand your authority. So say the word, my servant will be healed." And that's what we have to get. Jesus said, "I do nothing, I say nothing unless the Father tells me." We got to be in the same boat. We don't do it unless God tells us. So when we speak with his authority, when we fight against the demonic forces with his authority, when we stand up with his authority, when we resist the devil under God's authority, it tells us that he will flee from you. Now that word, when it says resist, that means to take a stand against. So that means when we're struggling with something, we're fighting something. I can't stand. My emotions are just driving me crazy. My fears are overwhelming me. My anger is just making me do things I don't want to do. This is getting me. That's getting me. God's saying, you know what? Take a stand. Gird your loins. And then after all of it, be standing. So take a stand. And then when we take a stand against the devil, under the authority of Jesus as his emissary, his ambassador, the devil will flee. He runs to escape. He wants out of there. So this authority was won for us through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's given to us, this authority is given to us not for our glory, not for our comfort, not so we can get rich, not so we can be powerful in the earthly realms, but it is given to us so that we can be powerful in spiritual realms. And so that we can bring honor and glory to the name of our Lord and see his kingdom being built. And finally, the third thing that helps us to fight the good fight and walk in victory over Satan and over all the demonic attacks is knowing the certainty of our victory. So we first need to know he's a defeated foe. Then we need to know that we have authority. And now we need to know that our victory is guaranteed. It's a certainty. You ever go after doing something and you just absolutely know that you're gonna ace it? You know, you go in for a test, you've studied up and down, you've passed it 100 times. You know exactly what you can do. You know you can throw that ball in the basket. You know you can fix that, put those brakes on, or fix that flat tire, or fix that copier, or you know whatever it is. And you absolutely know, I've done this 100 times. I can do that. No problem. I can do it blindfolded. That's the kind of certainty that God wants us to have in our victory. Not that there won't be a battle. There sometimes can be struggles and battles and. You know, we can get, you know, sometimes go through a little bit, but the victory is certain. And by knowing that the victory is certain and that it's coming, that gives us even more strength to go on. We already know that the death and resurrection of Jesus sealed the fate of our enemy, the devil. That's where the victory was really accomplished. And Satan, if you think about it, he likes to try to portray himself as God's equal, doesn't he? That's what he wants to do. He wants us to think God's the good guy, I'm the bad guy, sort of, like that. Or I'm the guy that's going to give you everything you want. You know, you see little cartoons, one's on each shoulder, and they look about even. In fact, the devil usually looks stronger. They try to make God look weak in those cartoons. But you got to remember, the devil is just a fallen angel. Nothing more. He's a created being, a fallen angel, a rebel who was kicked out of heaven. He's a rebel who was kicked out of heaven. He's an outlaw. There's no struggle against him on God's part. You think God is struggling with the devil? This is how God struggles against the devil. There's the devil saying there. Here's God. That's how much of a struggle God would have. Pinky fight? The devil loses. He's always going to lose against God. There is absolutely no way the devil will ever, ever, ever beat God. And the same spirit who rose Christ from the dead is now where? In us. So we need to see that in Christ, our victory is assured. And our flesh, not so good. We might have little victories here and there, but our flesh just doesn't have it. In the spirit. So when the devil, and I know you've heard this, when the devil reminds you of what you've done of your past, remind him of his future. We are the ones who are going to rule and reign in heaven. And in fact, be over the angels. Remember, the angels were supposed to be ministering servants. God wants you to know that your victory in Christ is certain. I want to read the scripture here in Isaiah chapter 54, 17. It says that no weapon forged against you will prevail. And you will refute every tongue that accuses you. What is Satan's, one of his names? You know, the accuser of the brethren. You will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage. In other words, this is our inheritance. This is our claim. This is our heritage, the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And this is their vindication. That sounds so good, doesn't it? You ever been unjustly accused and then been vindicated? There's nothing that feels better than to, you know, to feel like you've been totally beaten down and like everyone thinks you're worthless. And then all of a sudden it all turns around. And then they realize that you didn't do that. That wasn't you. Or you didn't lose that. You actually won. You were vindicated. This is the vindicated, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. God has given us His word that our victory is assured. Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. If God says it, believe it. So never give up because our victory is assured. Never surrender because our victory is assured. Keep pressing on. Persevere, because our victory is assured. Be bold, be strong, be courageous, because our victory is assured. We can walk in confidence, because our victory is certain. It's assured. 1 Corinthians 15:57. I already read it once, but I just want to close with this verse. Thanks be to God. He gives the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Maybe you've been struggling with something, anything at all, and you want to beat that thing. Maybe you need to come up and get some prayer. Sometimes taking that stand, that's taking your stand, resisting the devil. Great to have you out today. Thanks for coming out. But if you need prayer for anything at all, please come on forward. But let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you so much that this victory that you won, that you have given it to us, Lord God, that we get to enjoy the fruits of your victory and we get to walk in that victory. Lord, I pray your blessing upon this church and anyone who hears this message, Lord, I pray that we would walk, we would see that Satan is a defeated foe, that we would know that we have authority, that we would know that our victory is certain. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Never fail.